Good morning. Another partial shutdown appears all but certain as a deadline for a deal arrives.
These employees at any of these agencies shouldn't be held hostage yet again.
Democrats will not support a blank check for chaos.
In a major announcement, President Trump revokes a landmark climate ruling. Inside Climate News explains what it means. And some unusual scoring at the Winter Olympics ice dancing costs Team USA and stirs plenty of controversy. It's Friday, February 13th. I'm Cecilia Lay in for Shamita Basu, and this is Apple News Today. Barring any dramatic last-minute reversals, Congress appears to be at a stalemate in funding negotiations. Democrats have been pushing for ICE reform in order to fund the Department of Homeland Security. All but one Democratic senator voted to block a bill to fund the department, and the leadership rejected a White House proposal. Democrats are pushing for a number of reforms, including tighter rules on warrants and a ban on masks for ICE officers. Here's Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
If Republicans want to keep DHS funded, they need to get serious. They need to sit down. They need to negotiate in good faith, produce legislation that actually reins in ICE and stops the violence.
But his Republican counterpart, John Thune, told Fox News they refused to extend the deadline.
It seems to me, at least right now, that what they're looking for here is not really a solution, but it's more of a political opportunity, because clearly, if they wanted a solution, they would at least allow additional time to negotiate.
In the short term, the real-world political impact is likely to be limited. As NBC's Sahil Kapoor told us, immigration enforcement has plenty of money already available.
The Trump administration has $75 billion in funding for ICE in particular under the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill that is not impacted by appropriations at all. So there could be a funding lapse and the president would still have access to those $75 billion to carry on with his ICE agenda.
Over time, though, various important agencies within the department like TSA, FEMA, and the Coast Guard could take a hit if a shutdown lasts. While there's been little movement in Congress, the widely protested and deadly ICE operation in Minnesota, which sparked all of this, does appear to be coming to an end.
I have proposed, and President Trump has concurred, that this surge operation conclude. A significant drawdown has already been underway this week and will continue through the next week.
That's Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, speaking yesterday. The scale and speed of change on the ground remains to be seen. Local officials like Minnesota's Democratic Governor Tim Walz urged people to remain vigilant as immigration officials continue to leave the state. He believes the federal government should foot the bill for what he said was economic damage caused by ICE's presence.
The federal government needs to be responsible. You don't get to break things and then just leave without doing something about it. So we're going to be asking the federal delegation to be investing and doing the things necessary.
The fatal shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy appear to have shifted public opinion against ICE enforcement, emboldening Democrats to take a firmer line over this standoff. Some Republicans hope ending the ICE operation in Minnesota might undermine Democratic leverage in negotiations. A person close to the Trump administration told Politico they hoped the retreat from Minneapolis would keep immigration enforcement, quote, off the front pages. It was a landmark finding that has sparked over a decade of executive action on climate change. But yesterday, President Trump announced he would be eliminating the legal basis for regulating emissions.
Under the process just completed by the EPA, we are officially terminating the so-called endangerment finding, a disastrous Obama-era policy that severely damaged the American auto industry and massively drove up prices for American consumers.
Back in 2009, the EPA was empowered with the authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions that are dangerous to public health and welfare. Up to that point, President Obama was struggling to get any climate laws through Congress. But the EPA's endangerment finding concluded that the 1970 Clean Air Act could be drawn upon for a series of executive policies instead. It led to new standards for vehicle and power plant emissions. Marianne Lavelle is the D.C. Bureau Chief for Inside Climate News.
And so, by rescinding that finding, what the Trump administration is doing is really relieving itself of the obligation to issue any regulations to control greenhouse gases.
Industry groups have wanted this reversal for a long time. It stands to be more consequential than any of the other regulatory rollbacks announced during Trump's first term. Lavelle told us for now, the most immediate changes would be the elimination of standards for vehicles, and that will have a big impact for any transition to EVs.
One of the first things that is going to change because of the repeal of the endangerment finding is what's happening in the car market. The analysts don't expect the electric vehicle revolution to end, but they do expect it to slow down very significantly in the United States. And that's already happening because the automakers saw this coming down the track.
At least 20% of the heat-trapping gases emitted in the U.S. come from the tailpipes of passenger vehicles. Trump said that scrapping regulations will cut manufacturing costs, but some studies suggest that it could create some longer-term expenses for car owners as well. There's also potential risk for car makers in the U.S. International markets might not want to buy American cars that are less fuel efficient. Trump's EPA chief says the Clean Air Act was only intended to target harmful toxic air pollutants, not greenhouse gases, as the Supreme Court ruled back in 2007. As Lavelle told us, scientists agree that the harmful consequences of climate change are already here.
There was Hurricane Helene. There was the LA fires last year. Hurricanes that intensify very rapidly and that break up very slowly. All of these are the impacts of what the scientists say is the warming atmosphere. And this, of course, is increasing risks and costs for communities.
And environmental groups will point to those costs as they gear up to challenge the EPA's arguments in lawsuits. That battle and the fate of Trump's decision will almost certainly end up at the Supreme Court. Unlike a football or basketball game where everyone agrees who won, in the world of ice dancing, it's way more subjective.
That's enough. The gold medal goes to the team from France. Ornée Beaudry sits around the gold. Chalk and Bates of the U.S., the silver.
On Wednesday, France's newly paired ice dancing duo, Laurence Fournier-Beaudry and Guillaume Cizeron, defeated the U.S. power couple, Madison Chalk and Evan Bates, who had been the gold medal favorites. France's victory has sparked controversy, reigniting debates about how ice dance competitions are scored and judged.
What a lot of people noticed after the skating was done was that the French team got a really great score from the French judge, while the United States team did not.
Rohan Nadkarni is a sports reporter for NBC News, covering the Winter Games in Milan.
Madison Chalk and Evan Bates were actually first place on 5 of the 9 judges' scorecards on Wednesday night, which is obviously a majority, but they still didn't win. And it's not uncommon for figure skating to kind of see these gaps sometimes. It was certainly catching the eye of a lot of people.
The French judge scored the Americans more than 7 points lower than the French duo. It's led to calls for more transparency, including from Chalk herself, who said this to CBS News.
I think it would definitely be helpful if it's more understandable for the viewers to just see more transparent judging and understand what's really going on. And I think it's also important for the skaters that the judges be vetted and reviewed to make sure that they are also putting out their best performance, because there's a lot on the line for the skaters when they're out there giving it their all. And we deserve to have the judges also giving us their all and for it to be a fair and even playing field.
While this incident did lead to scrutiny over the judging process, Nadkarni told us this is how the judging of ice dancing usually works.
There's an artistic component to the sport that's a little bit open to interpretation. And, you know, judges are kind of within their rights to decide, did this piece athletically match up with what it was trying to convey artistically? Sometimes even things that seem obvious are sometimes judged differently by different judges.
That open interpretation is pretty broad. Nadkarni says some judges might see things very differently, like what is or isn't considered a fall. To account for that, the sport features large panels of judges to serve as a check against a situation like what happened Wednesday night. For the Americans, it's a complicated moment.
This has clearly been a very difficult time for them, and it's their best finish at the Olympics ever. They've never medaled it individually. They won a silver. It should be a cause for celebration, but it's clearly taken an emotional toll on them.
The International Skating Union said in a statement that it had full confidence in the scores. And finally, a few other stories we're following. In a setback for the Trump administration, a federal judge blocked the Pentagon from punishing Democratic Senator Mark Kelly for calling on troops to reject unlawful orders. Kelly and other senators posted a social media video in November that reminded service members of their duty.
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution. And
right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad, but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had sought to reduce the military rank and pension pay for Kelly, a retired Navy captain. But on Thursday, U.S. District Judge Richard Leon ruled that the secretary's actions impeded Kelly's First Amendment rights. In his ruling, Leon added that, quote, "Our retired veterans deserve more respect from their government." Hegseth said he would appeal the ruling. In a stunning upset, snowboarding icon Chloe Kim lost her bid to become the first snowboarder to win three consecutive Olympic halfpipe titles. She was beaten by a South Korean teenager named Gowan Choi. 25-year-old Kim had previously won gold for the U.S. in the women's halfpipe in 2018 and 2022 and was the overwhelming favorite to have a historic win. Despite Kim's lead with a best score of 88 points during Thursday's halfpipe final, 17-year-old Choi's heroic third run, after a first-run crash, scored 90.25 points, bumping Kim to second place. A month earlier, Kim had dislocated her shoulder during training and had returned to halfpipe just 2 weeks ago, wearing a brace. In an interview after the competition, Kim said that she still considers winning silver one of her proudest achievements.
A month ago, I wasn't even sure if I would be here. And so, God, I could get emotional thinking about it, but I really worked so hard to get here. And so this medal means so much to me.
Kim had mentored Choi leading up to the games. Choi is the first South Korean woman to win an Olympic snowboarding gold. The bronze medal went to Japan's Mitsuki Ono. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the News app right now, stick around for the latest episode of Apple News in Conversation. It's about the ownership battle in Hollywood for the iconic Warner Brothers studio and one of its major players, David Ellison, the CEO of Paramount Skydance. David is the son of Larry Ellison, the CEO of Oracle, and currently the sixth richest person in the world. Shumita sat down with New York Magazine writer Reeves Weideman to talk about the Ellison's father and son dynamic and what it might mean for us watching at home.
There is no way to separate David Ellison's rise in Hollywood from his father and the impact his father has had on his career, funding his efforts in Hollywood.
If you're listening in the podcast app, you can follow Apple News in Conversation to find that episode. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll be back with the news on Monday.